The horse is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Danzy and Corey Club.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take it away.
This is Vanessa Marshall, voice of Hera Syndulla. Welcome to Rebels Reactions with Danzy and Corey Club.
We are thrilled to welcome Vanessa Marshall to Coffee with Kenobi. Vanessa is one of the stars of the upcoming Star Wars Rebels animated series and voices Hera Syndulla, the Twi'lek ace pilot of the Ghost. Vanessa has appeared in countless animated series, video games, and films, and has voiced characters from Wonder Woman, Black Widow, Mary Jane Watson, and now Hera. We are honored to share a cup of coffee with this talented new addition to the Star Wars family and have her as our special guest on Coffee with Kenobi Presents Rebels Reactions. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you here. And everything's a buzz right now with Star Wars and all the information coming out. And especially Rebels is a big thing coming out this year. We're so excited. And our first question to ask you is, how did you get involved with Star Wars Rebels?
Like most jobs, I auditioned for it. In this case, it was titled something else. And I didn't know that it was Rebels, so it was unique in that sense. But I said at WonderCon that I could feel the force on the page, and I think that speaks to the quality of the show, that it's really sort of old-school trilogy, and it's very palpable. But when I got called back and saw the artwork on the wall, I pretty much, that confirmed it. I didn't realize that the Twi'lek I was looking at was my character until that was explained to me, and I couldn't believe it. It was like a miracle. And then I actually got the part, which was doubly as explosive a moment for me. As a huge Star Wars fan, I flailed. Yeah.
And you put you and Teresa doing the fan flail online. That was great. Yes.
We could not stop laughing. She was staying at a hotel here in LA, and I went to say hello. And the guy at the desk, sort of late at night, you know, doing his job, we said, "Pardon me, sir, could you just take this quick video?" And you should have seen the look on his face after we did fangirl flail. Yeah, it was great. Anyway, thanks for looking at that.
Absolutely. Well, you've been so remarkable in fandom. Your enthusiasm for Star Wars is palpable and contagious, which, of course, we love. So can you tell us what kind of character is Hera and what will she bring to Rebels?
Well, Hera, as I said, is a Twi'lek. She's an amazing pilot. At the same time, she's also a maternal figure, really at the heart of the Ghost crew. She's an amazing fighter. She knows how to quietly motivate her crew. And I think she is really committed to the Rebel cause. And what's going to be really cool is learning about her backstory. And, I mean, that's true with all the characters, but I think you're really going to delight in discovering her reasons for being so committed to the cause. But at once she brings the getaway driver aspect of Han Solo and the humor and moxie of Princess Leia that you find in the original trilogy. So I think she is sort of representing that energy a bit.
Wow, that certainly is a lot of promise.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a ton of fun.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it, and we're excited as fans, and many fans themselves have been clamoring for strong female characters in Star Wars. How will Hera provide a powerful female voice for the saga?
Well, what I thought was really cool, Dave Filoni said at WonderCon that, you know, people are clamoring for strong female characters, but actually he's just created strong characters. And I thought that was an interesting angle on that whole issue of gender, that even to say that we need a woman to be strong as opposed to, say, a victim, it it assumes a lot. It sort of speaks to the difference when actually, within at least this segment of the narrative, everyone is equally oppressed, and so issues of gender and race are they fall away, and it's sort of irrelevant, to be honest. Everyone is salvaging any aspects of their personality, male, female, Twi'lek, Lasat. It really doesn't matter. We all have to find food, fuel, and get out of this jam and save people who are being persecuted. And so anyway, what I'm saying is that those distinctions, at least in Rebels, are irrelevant to a certain extent. But having said that, I do think that Hera will provide an unapologetic, strong feminine energy that is a sight to behold. I think it's going to be very inspiring. I think both Hera and Sabine are great role models for young women. And actually, I'd say even for men. when you see Hera take down those TIE fighters, it's pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
Well, just the trailer alone for WonderCon was enough. And as you were talking about, it's about this character and who she is and how everyone's on an equal playing field. You're talking about an amazing amount of equality and positive storytelling. That I was actually pumping my fist when you said that. So well done, but not a surprise considering who's running the show.
Yeah, gender is somewhat irrelevant, but I think the character will nonetheless deliver on those ideas. I think she is a very strong character. She's a strong female character as well.
Right. And it is the power that comes through with everything you're saying here just on our little show. So when you first saw the design of Hera and you realized this is who I am voicing, how much does the design of Hera influence your work in the studio?
You know, that's a really good question. They sent us some video clips so that we could see how our characters move, because I do think that's important. We're all very nimble, and, you know, obviously Hera's not a Jedi, so she's not that nimble, not that force sensitive. But it's important to have a sense of that, but we sure don't. I don't, like, have brain pills and, you know, dance around during the session. Nor do we have lightsabers, but they gave us footage to look at so that we would understand how our characters move around. But I think that we work from the interior landscape out rather than the affectations or physical abilities of our characters. I think we are driven not only by the tone of the original trilogy, the humor and the fun of that, the fun and the funny of it, if you will, but also the ideas of freedom and liberty and equality that unite us, creating a sound that is true and once again almost transcends the biology. And it's a very powerful thing to listen to because it's born out of real passion and ideas from the inside out.
And you sound so excited and I guess tell in your voice that you're just like ready to do this and roll with all this stuff. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Now that you've entered the Star Wars fandom and whatnot, what have you noticed about Star Wars fans so far through this experience?
Well, they've been amazing. I would say social media has really changed my life. Previous to this, I have been moved by Star Wars in a very private and sacred way. And since getting this part, I've been able to communicate. I've been talking to myself about all of these things for so long, you know, how they affect my own writing and different versions of these paradigms in literature. And I know you're aware of that with Star Wars in the classroom and mm-hmm. all that great stuff. So what this has done is just blown open wide, not only my mind, but my heart and my soul. And I'm so grateful to connect with people who deeply care as much as I do. It's a revelation, really. I mean, I know this has always been available to me, and I'm not really sure why I didn't reach out, but it's been private up until now, and it's been really fun to become more social and discuss themes and stuff like that in Star Wars.
Well, and it's revolutionary for us as fans, the access we have to the cast. And you're so warm and honest and sincere and your passion and fandom. And Star Wars fans are intelligent. They're force sensitive. We're not force sensitive, but but we do have a good grasp of when a person is sincere. And just, you know, our friends are your friends, you know, Trisha and Teresa and Brian and all the other podcasts. We all stick together and we all have the same goal in mind, which is to talk about what we love. And the fact that you love it as much as you do and that you express it and interact, we are so appreciative of that. And thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy to do it. It's amazing. I mean, I remember Sam Witwer, you know, I was a huge fan of the Darth Maul arc in the Clone Wars. Man, that whole Savage Opress, all of that was just amazing to me. But his passion was also fun to listen to, you know, with various podcasts and stuff like that. So I understand how you feel. it does make a difference knowing that the people who are creating the saga also love it as much as the fans do. That's very special when that happens. So I know how you feel.
it's appreciated. And so you're on this dream job and you're a huge Star Wars fan. So it's time to find the voice of Hera and how you portray. And you mentioned the imagery and the images and her role as a character. So what steps did you take to find that voice, and how much did Dave, Simon, and Greg impact those steps you took?
Well, I think, as I said, it wasn't an external process. In other words, going from a sound and working my way in to create that sound. It was about finding the correct intention that would guide my passion and give birth to the right voice. So as long as I aligned myself internally, almost like you accessing the force, if you will, as long as I did that, the voice just blossomed from there. You can plug in different variables from different time periods into the issues at hand and make it very personal. And I did that, and it seemed to translate well, because I think they could feel how much I cared about the rebel cause. In other words, standing up against evil and the power of ordinary people uniting to accomplish great things, that's very moving to me personally. So I think that was communicated in sort of the tone and timbre of the voice that naturally and organically came out. Dave and Simon and Greg, they really let the actors do their thing, which is very rare. And so I think everyone has just sort of blossomed in a way, discovering who these characters really are in, like I said, a very organic way, which is awesome to watch.
And that's real trust there, too. And just hearing you describe it, the literature teacher in me turns up and says, she's talking about is a perfect analogy to what a true rebellion really is. And it's just exciting to hear that.
Yeah. It really is. I just have to pinch myself because, not only do I care about all these elements, but to have the opportunity to actually live and breathe them for the sake of the cartoon narrative is just a deep honor. It's amazing.
Well, and I got to ask real quickly, when you got to experience WonderCon and you got to watch a brief clip with fans live, and I saw your tweets and Instagram and everything, and as you were interacting and sharing everything with fans, I bet that must have been an incredible experience for you as an actor and as a fan.
It was. Like, at one point I looked over and, you know, there's David Collins killing. I mean, and I looked, I've gone to cons as a fan, and I've always been out there screaming. So to actually be up at that table, I had a moment where I wondered if I was dreaming or something. And then even more so than watching the clip, it makes me cry. Kevin's music was amazing.
Oh my.
I don't know if you could feel that, but it just gave me chills. I had to just pull it together. but I think that moment, more than seeing the clip, that's when I knew the show was going to be okay. I mean, I knew it anyway, but when I hear what he's done with John Williams' music, oh man, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to see this. I really am so happy. Yeah.
That's incredible. It gets us ramped up for this new show, and we're all looking forward to it. It looks like it's going to be fantastic. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit and kind of go into your background as a voice actor. And we're just curious to know a little bit what characters or actors have influenced your work throughout your career.
Well, I would say characters that I have played, I would say Wonder Woman, I would say Black Widow, I would say Mary Jane, for differing reasons. I would say the Wonder Woman and Black Widow, they're superheroes, and of course, Black Canary. Their abilities are beyond, I don't have an invisible airplane, so.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, I couldn't really access some of those elements, but I could dig deep and find the parts of myself that believe in again, like freedom, liberty, equality, justice, mercy, all of those conflicting opportunities for heroic choices. And Mary Jane, surprisingly, she was an ordinary person, and it's interesting with Spectacular Spider-Man, she was in high school, but I really love Marvel Comics, and I particularly love how Mary Jane has a hand in Peter Parker's evolution, and I learned a lot from that. But sometimes the one who is the most quiet is actually having the biggest impact, and that somewhat reminds me of Hera, because I think she's also quietly accomplishing great things as an ordinary person, if you will, or Twi'lek.
Sure.
But I would say that those female superheroes have really inspired me.
That's wonderful. And I got to say, I'm going to geek out here in a minute, but I love your Wonder Woman. I think you are the definitive Wonder Woman voice to me.
Oh, well, I love Susan Eisenberg. So.
Well, she's pretty great too. Yeah. Yes.
She is, man. I love her. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is that all of these characters, no one owns them, and we all celebrate them. It's so cool. That's what's wonderful about voiceover, is that we're all happy for each other when we get work, and, you know, there's enough for everybody, and we're holding up these stories. I went to NYU Graduate School for acting, and it was really a sacred experience for me, because we would take great playwrights like Chekhov and Ibsen and Shakespeare, and we would humble ourselves to the narrative and really hold that up. Our job was solely to let that story live so that collectively, the audience, that all of us could learn from this tale that we were experiencing. And when I think of graphic novels and comic books and stuff like that, it reminds me of, there's still that same sacred element. The woman who was running the school at the time, Zelda Fitchhandler, she would describe us as shaman or Shaw women, if you will. Whereas the actor's normally seen as some grandiose character who's a narcissist and a wingnut. You know, she presented an idea of an actor as a shaman who goes under and lets a story live. And I feel like these animated series give us the opportunity to truly do that, and it feels very special. And things like ego and competition and all that garbage really, you know, I know we all have to pay our rent and so on and so forth, but I think there is a true collective desire to let the writer's words live. And I think, you know, Susan Eisenberg and a number of other actresses, I mean, the women in Clone Wars were epic at doing exactly that.
Yes.
The generosity of spirit rather than sort of an arrogant, selfish display of excellence, if you will.
Yeah, very well said. And it's just a living, breathing, organic, collaborative process where everyone is trying to tell a powerful story that has levels to it that the fans love and it resonates with them. And you're progressing the Star Wars mythology through all this passion and intelligence. So we are very excited. Even just sitting here talking to you, I keep thinking, well, I know the Episode 7 news came out, and that's great too, but wow, is Rebels going to be fantastic?
Yeah.
I think it really will deliver. I'm so excited.
I bet. Well, we're so happy to have you in the Star Wars family, and yeah. your passion is just contagious. So cheers to you for that.
Well, thank you so much. And I actually am moved by the work that you're doing, Dan, you know, with your teaching and, you know, comparing Hamlet to Luke and all these things. I mean, I think it's really important to get kids plugged into literature, and I think it's noble what you do, so thank you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And your artwork, Corey, as well.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, and thank you again for your kindness, we've got five quick questions that we ask every guest of Coffee with Kenobi in a similar vein to Inside the Actor Studio, just kind of one word, one sentence replies. And it's great to see the commonality of our Star Wars celebrity guests. So we're just going to jump right into that real quick. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Everyone says Empire, but right now I love Return of the Jedi. The final moments are so delicious after watching the Clone Wars. I now like Return of the Jedi more than ever.
Wow.
Excellent. Okay, your favorite character?
Ahsoka.
Oh,
I love
cool.
me some Snips. I love Snips. I love her. I worry about her every day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'm sure you've gotten a chance to talk with Ashley about that, I'm sure.
Well, when I met her, I cried. Yeah, I totally fangirled out like a dork. I could not hold it together.
Hey, we're all human.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that moment when she, oh man, I it just makes me cry every time when she walks away from Anakin. Oh, and the episode did not have the usual music at the end.
I know.
Oof,
chilling. You just gave me goosebumps saying that.
Yeah, that blackness of the unknown. Oh my gosh. That was powerful. Yeah.
Well, and maybe I have the answer to this next question based on what you just said, but what is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
Oh, I don't know if I can do this in one. I love it I'll just try to be quick, but in Revenge of the Sith, when Padme says, Queen Amidala says, "So this is how liberty dies," with thunderous applause. I got chills when she said that. I also love it when Obi-Wan says, "You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy." And then third, I'd have to say when Ian McDiarmid says four words that tell the entire story for me in Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin says, "May I learn this dark art from you?" And he simply turns to him and says, "Not from a Jedi."
Huh.
I was like, "You are a master." That moment, "Not from a Jedi." It was like that. That was epic.
That's awesome. That is incredible. Okay, Vanessa, if you collect, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
1977 Chewbacca.
Wow, in package?
No, it's not on card, no. No, it's lonely, but it's full of love. In the Black Series, it's Han Solo. But as far as like old school, that was when I scoured eBay, when I found an actual 1977 Chewie, I cried.
That's awesome. And I agree with you. The sculpt on the Black Series Han Solo is phenomenal.
Yeah. His detachable hands are crazy. Yeah.
Very cool. And last one before we let you go. What particular messages or themes about the Star Wars saga resonate or speak to you?
I would say the ideas of the Force and the dark side and our daily choice to either walk towards death or life. And when I watch various characters' arcs and I'm reminded of those moments where we are tested to do the right thing and take the high road or let our passion and anger run us, those are the elements all throughout Star Wars that impact me as I'm making choices in my own life. I would say specific to Rebels, the idea that family is more than just blood, that we can choose our family to a certain extent, that learning is a two-way street, that it's amazing what the teacher learns from the student. And I would say the power of standing up to evil, that when ordinary people band together to do what's right, why it's important to try and make a difference. And I think overall, all of this to me encompasses ideas of hope. And that's what George Lucas gave me, hope.
Wow. Well, I that is beautifully said and executed. So thank you so much for leaving us and our listeners with something to ponder and, again, putting the beauty of the Star Wars saga into such excellent words. Vanessa Marshall, it was so worth the wait to have this work out, and we are just honored and delighted and look forward to talking with you in the future and seeing all the great things you're going to do for Star Wars and fandom. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Vanessa. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi. As well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.